excuse for those who want to head that way, go with her. All right. Well, 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 well. All right. Good job, you two. Thank you. Awesome. Man, good job. Give another hand of applause. I was going to jump off of Satan and go to something else, but Satan keeps jumping on me. And Satan's tried every way in the world this week to sort of get to me. Now, I'm like any other man. I can take a lot of pain.
Yeah, right.
Larry and I can take more pain than all the other women here in the whole place put together. I'm telling you right now. So I tell you, I guess it was Thursday. All of a sudden I looked up, and of course, you know, this arm, you can see it move with my heart. And that needle popped out, and I mean, blood was just going.
Yeah.
And I got a little blanket there, and so I grabbed that blanket real fast and moved it so it wouldn't get on the blanket. And moved it, and I'm in a recliner, so they got two of these like tables on each side, and threw it on the table, and it hit my phone. My phone fell down, and that's sort of the story of my life. Cracked my phone all to pieces. So, but still works. So somehow or another, there's a good story in this. Some of you may be cracked, but you still work.
Amen.
Now, so I take it to the AT&T store and I said, what can you do for this? He said, nothing. I said, what would it cost to replace it? He said, $500. I said, it still works. He said, well, then I would keep it. And I said, that's exactly what I'm going to do. But he gave me a secret. He said, here's what you need. He said, do you have a wife or a girlfriend at home or both? I said, well, yeah, I've got both. She's my wife and she's my girlfriend. Got to try to be smart with me, you know. He said, well, tell her to take clear. Now, this is all I'm going to make a point. He said, take clear fingernail polish and go over it. Because, you know, these phones, you know, you know, it may cut my fingers or be cracked. And she said, let it harden. And said, it won't change the appearance, but it'll make it functional. Going with me here a little bit? Isn't that the same way Jesus does with us? He may not take all of our scars, but he makes us functional.
Amen.
Huh? Well, don't do it while I'm preaching, but
we know a guy that can replace those.
You do? Yeah. Well, it is. I mean, as long as the thing works, that's all that matters to me. But if your brother calls, don't answer it. No, you answer if he does call. But anyway, I'm going to do one more series here, or one more Sunday on Satan, because I think we need it. I think everywhere I look, I see Satan having a field day with people and their lives. And what gets to me sometimes is that it doesn't have to be that way. If we truly understand that with Jesus, he has no power over us. But when we get away from Jesus, in whatever form or fashion that may be, whether it's lack of church attendance, lack of Bible study, lack of prayer, lack of common sense, whatever the lacking may be, when we pull away from God, things are going to happen. Now, here's the real deal. Even if you don't pull away from God, sometimes things are going to happen. We call it a test. But let me tell you something. You're always going to be tested as long as you're in the flesh. But with Jesus, you will pass every time. There is no telling how much blood I lost this past week. I am bruised from here to here. Tore me up. But I'm standing in the pulpit today.
Amen.
Now at the time, I told the one nurse who came to me for the fifth time to put that needle in me. I said, "Where'd you go to school?" She said, "Mr. Hodge, what the problem is that your veins are moving." I said, "Okay." And she said, "A lot of times," don't you take up for speech. And she said, "A lot of times, once the needle gets in the vein, if it moves, that needle will come out. And that's what causes all the bruising, because the blood gets underneath the skin." Hey, I know all that. I said, "Okay." So she said, "I think we need to make an appointment to have them remap your veins." What they do, that's an x-ray, where they go, but you know, I've got that, you all seem to know where I'm sort of sure I've got that body there. That's that fistula now, where they tie all these veins together to make them bigger so they can hit them and I don't get bruised. What's up, man? What's the problem there? So, anyway, the deal is, she said, "I think we need to make an appointment to see if something's going on with those veins. Because if they close up, because remember, I didn't use this fistula for 4 years. She said, "Maybe they need to put a stent in one of them or whatever." And I said, "Oh, okay, well, whatever, make the appointment, because I sure don't want to keep going through this." And then yesterday, this little nurse comes in, and I said, "You know, just do the best you can. It's just been one of them kind of weeks." She said, "What do you mean?" I said, they keep missing my veins, or it goes in and it comes out." She said, so she takes it, puts that thing, testicle, starts listening. She said, "Ain't nothing wrong." They call it a sight. I said, "Ain't nothing wrong with your sight." So she said, "Here." Stuck me this time. They had to stick me twice. Stuck me. Didn't even feel it. I said, "When are you going to do it?" She said, "I'm going to do it." Stuck me second time. Didn't felt it just a little bit. Didn't hardly feel it. And she said, "Ain't nothing wrong with your sight. You wouldn't even see no light. It's fine." I said, "Well, but maybe they'll move." She said, "Just take my word for it. It's all right." I mean, I could have got up and done jumping. Because what happens when you get like that, they want you to keep your arm still. Because if you move it, then that needle will move. You're going to sit there for 4 hours and not move that arm. That's a little hard to do. So yesterday, I could have went up and done the jumping jacks. I could have done anything I want to. But it, she never alarmed, nothing. Well, you know, but here's, and I am thankful for this nurse. But I think it just goes to show me that God said, "Hey, say you had a rough couple days with him. How about let's just get out of this place today, and we're going to give the boy a good day."
Amen.
Give the Lord a hand of applause. All right, here we go, man. Now, this is just simply, a lot of it is just a reminder of what happens when we accept the Lord and what happens if we take a step backwards. "But call to remembrance the former days in which, after you were enlightened, you endured a great conflict of sufferings." Keep this in mind at all times, that just because we are a child of God doesn't mean your life will be perfect. Everybody here knows, ain't nobody here got a perfect life. Huh? Lord knows, Kenny works for Waste Management. You know he don't have no perfect life. I'm just telling you. You know? So hey, nobody here got a perfect life. Neither was that promised to you. But remember the days of before Jesus so that you can appreciate the days after Jesus. Because the big point is now whatever I go through, Jesus is right there with me.
Amen.
As long as I keep him there, keep him invited. He's right there with me no matter what I'm doing. And gets me through it. All right, Larry, here we go. Hebrews. Again. Cast not away, therefore, your boldness, which hath great recompense of reward. For you have need of patience, that having done the will of God, you may receive the promise. For yet in a very little while, he that cometh shall come, and shall not tarry. Be bold. Understand. Boldness brings reward. Do you understand that? Boldness, what way? Boldness is the fact that I give God and Jesus the credit for everything in my life. And I don't back down from that. I tell everybody, everything that I own, everything that I've got, every piece of money that's in the bank, my retirement, my health, my car, even at one time I owned a Chevrolet Vega and was thankful for it. And it was the worst car on the planet that General Motors ever made. Alright? So it doesn't matter. Understand. Be thankful and be bold about the fact of how Jesus has been good to you. Now where the real testimony comes in is when you've gone through a rough time and you still give Jesus the credit. Because it's all a way of teaching you and I. Because believe me, that's how we learn the value of Jesus. Is when he gets me through a down time, a sick time, a rough time, a financial time, any other time, and gets me on the other side of it, and I give him the glory for it. That's where the testimony gets in. And the more glory I give him, less of the rough times I will have. The Lord have mercy. Because it takes patience. For you have need of patience. And having done the will of God, you may receive the promise. That's a neat phrase. A lot of people make promises to us and break them. We all know that. Well, let me tell you something. If it's in God's word and it's a promise, I promise you, it's a promise forever. And what is the promise? What is received the promise? Is that God will never leave you. His Holy Spirit will be with you. And once you accept him, he has a home waiting for you. His amazing grace can cover any sin that you do. And as long as you act like you've got some sense, you come to God's house, you learn about your prayer life, you study God's word, his promise is that he will get you through anything. And even when we take our last breath, the real big promise comes in. Because there we will be with him for eternity. We were just talking, coming to church. And Janice said today was Brother Jim's birthday. He would have been 87. Turned 87 in heaven. It's a good place to turn 87. Because he is in heaven. And he's with the Spirit of God. And after all that he went through, even to his last days, believe me now, you don't have to worry about no bed, you don't have to worry about the fact he can't walk or anything. He's got everything that he needs because he received the promise. Amen. Give the Lord a hand of applause. For yet a very little while, he that cometh shall come, and shall not tarry. And that's the promise that he's coming. He's returning. Keep an eye on the world. As I'm just telling you, this world will not get any better. And I don't mean to bust your bubble about that, but that's what the Bible says. But keep in mind that God's people will always be taken care of. But the world's not going to get any better. You just keep your hands and arms wrapped around Jesus, and you will be okay. That is the promise, because he's coming. All right, Larry, let's fix it. But my righteousness One shall live by faith. And if he shrink back, my soul has no pleasure in him. We are not of them that shrink back unto perdition, but unto them that have faith, unto the saving of our soul. Now, I want you to look at this, because this is real deep, because everybody here can relate to this. But my righteous one shall live by faith. You and I are the righteous ones. We're going to live by faith. It's what we're going to do. We live by faith, we act by faith, we worship by faith, everything's by faith. Now, but, and if he shrink back, my soul has no pleasure in him. Now, going backwards is no fun. And everybody here, a term we use today in modern English is backslidden. Means, oh yeah, you used to worship God at one time. Oh yeah, you used to go to church at one time. Oh yeah, you used to do this. But now you don't, and you got every excuse under the sun. Now, I don't care what the excuse is. I don't care if it's a good excuse. An excuse is an excuse. And every one of us is going to stand before God one day, and I can't wait to hear some of these excuses that's coming. Now, I want you to look at something real close here, because this really tells you the heart of God. And if he shrink back, make a few steps backwards. In other words, and now I'm not serving God. My soul has no pleasure in him. It's going to make God, the Father, God, the Son, and God, the Holy Spirit, angry. They don't have any pleasure in him. But he doesn't say, I condemn you. Doesn't say, I'm going to let you go. It just says, I'm going to whip you. Now, there were times when I did wrong with my parents. Didn't mean they stopped loving me, but they sure didn't stop punishing me. And that punishment comes age-related. When you're a kid, get a spanking. When you get older, you get things taken away. Or time out. That's a neat thing today, time out. I've told you this 1,000 times, but my dad didn't know what that was. I told him one time, I said, because I'd heard that phrase, I said, Dad, why don't you just put me in time out? He said, no, I just said knockout. Because I'd get your attention more than time out. Because that's the way he was raised. And my dad's era, back in those times, if you said time out, they don't know what that means. You know, just go get a switch. If it's time out means get a switch or a belt, well, go get it. Yeah, we'll have a lot of time out. Okay? But I finally learned how to respect. Because it didn't mean my dad didn't love me. Because sometimes you have to, listen closely. Sometimes you have to punish to protect.
Amen.
You really do. Sometimes you just have to do that. Because we don't know no better. We think we do, but we don't. Same way in our spiritual life. We think sometimes, hey, we don't have to go to church. We don't have to do this. I don't have to write that check. I don't have to give. I don't have to do anything. I don't have to pray. I'm okay. No, you're not. That's just Satan telling you you're okay. Because you're going to come up against the wrath of God. And if you think you don't see it in this lifetime, oh, will you ever see it in the next? So you make the decision. You make the choice. But we are not of them that shrink back unto perdition, which means your own way. The writer here of Hebrews says, you don't want that. You might go backwards. Don't go back to the old way. But of them that have faith unto the saving of their soul, those are the righteous people. Doesn't mean God expects you to be perfect, but he expects you to be taught. He expects you to be able to learn. See, a lot of times mistakes teach you when you make a mistake. You know that. You look back over your lifetime. If you learn from your mistakes, it's okay. It's when you keep making the same mistake over and 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 over that you're not learning. And when you do that, patience runs out. Patience runs out with God. Patience runs out with your family. Patience runs out with your spouse, your children, everybody else. When you don't take responsibility for your actions and you don't learn from your mistakes, they don't criticize you for your mistakes. They criticize is you didn't learn a blasted thing. Give the Lord a hand of applause. So we understand that if we have any intelligence at all, okay? And everybody here has intelligence, then we need to learn. We can be taught if we reach out. Jesus will take care of you. Through no matter what you're facing or what you're dealing with, as long as you, I say over and over and over and over and over and over and over, over again, because I'm trying to reach out to this world here that's on this camera, as well as my world that's in front of me, is that you have to understand it. Find you a church and get in it. A church that preaches and teaches that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. I don't care if it's big, small, I don't care what denomination is, as long as you know that. Get into your Bible study time. I don't care if it's 5 minutes or 5 hours. Figure out a time to get into God's Word. It will speak to you. And then pray, 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 pray. And if you do all that, if you are doing a little something wrong, you'll be under conviction. You'll make it right. Because conviction is a good thing. Conviction is the scale for which we weigh ourselves to decide which way we want to go. Listen, there was a time I hated the scale. Oh, my land, did I hate the scale. Did not want to be weighed because I knew I had an issue. Finally, when my kidney doctor said, you will not be a candidate for a transplant unless you lose 75 pounds. And two and a half years ago, that was hard for me to hear. But I had to make a choice. I had to make a decision. And the only way that you can judge what you're doing is by scale. So the scale became my friend. Then, once I started losing weight, I couldn't wait to jump on that thing. Every day I'm on there, I give it as a pound, I celebrate it. And then the next thing you know, it began to come off. Now, because of that, I took something that was an enemy of mine, made it a friend of mine, and now, hopefully, I might be able to get a transplant. You have to change your way of thinking sometimes for people. You've got to let Jesus do it. Things that we dread can become best friends of ours if we do it in a spiritual way. Understand it. It's Jesus' way. We may not understand it. We may question it on occasions, but it's His way. We don't know why all of us go through what we go through. And everybody here can write a book of what you've gone through and what you're going through now. And we don't know why, but it doesn't matter because it's a book that Jesus had for you. When you were born, He had a book. He knew exactly what your life was going to be like from the time you took that first breath until the time your heart stops. Every one of us has a book. But He said, even if chapter 6 was a horrible time, chapter 8 may be a wonderful time if you give your life to the Lord between chapter 6 and chapter 8. You get that? Sometimes our books can be this thick or this thick. It don't matter how thick your book is. It don't matter how many mistakes you made. It don't matter what you've done. When Jesus takes the book, here's the real question. If you'll just think about it in this way. When He takes your book, what He does, He just turns to the very back to the end page and signs His name. And by the time you live out your life and finish up that book, and It doesn't matter. Understand, Jesus took your life in some chapter of your life and signed it and sealed it. It didn't mean that the rest of your chapter is going to be perfect, but it means from that point on that you give your life to Jesus. You're trying, and you're doing what you need to do because that's what Jesus did for you. You get the picture? Say amen.
Amen.
Give the Lord a hand of applause. Father, what a precious time to be in your house among God's people. Father, may we understand, Father, that we need to live for you every day. We need your grace so much. Father, we pray for these watching us by internet today, Father. Give them the grace they need. Father, touch every life that's here or that's watching through this camera. That, Father, we can understand how amazing your grace is. And yet, Father, may we be wide open to the fact of what Satan's all about. What he's trying to do. But, Father, we only give him as much power as we allow him to have. But when you're in our lives and we put you first, Satan will not defeat us. Father, be with this invitation for me, one here today that's lost, that's never made a public confession that Jesus is their Savior. They need to do it today. No one's promised tomorrow. If Jesus can come before the sun sets today. If someone needs a quiet time at this altar, we invite them to come. Someone wants to join our church, we invite them to come. But Father, most of all, this is about salvation. May they truly understand that Jesus is the only way and the only truth and the only life. In Jesus' name.